I want to thank those three ladies for giving all of the goals and objectives and all of the history of Healthy Start and what we are designed to do. I'm going to go through this, and I'm not going to take 20 minutes, okay?
Then I'll do questions when you're done.
Okay. I'm Celeste Garcia. I have no disclosures. I am the director of the Department of Community Health and the project director for Healthy Start Southeast Chicago. My passion is helping participants help themselves on the road towards achieving their personal goals. We're going to look at a team approach that provides positive effects for participants. The brief history of the Healthcare Consortium of Illinois. We are an organization of partners committed to developing and maintaining targeted, community-based, integrated health and human service delivery systems, which increase the well-being of individuals, families, and communities. HCI was first established as a collaboration between a number of hospital and two community health centers. That would be TCA Health and Chicago Family Health. In 1997, HCI became the lead agency for Healthy Start Southeast Chicago, a federally funded infant mortality reduction program which aims to reduce health disparities and improve health outcomes in communities with high infant mortality rates. The Healthy Start Southeast Chicago mission is to reduce health and human disparities in the underserved communities by servicing babies, families, and the community. Our vision, build a community action network inclusive of maternal and child health services, social services, and mental and behavioral health services through a public health model that will empower individuals and families by engaging the entire community. Our geographic service areas as of 2014 are Riverdale, Pullman, West Pullman, West Englewood and South Shore within Chicago, and we have two suburban areas of Dalton and Calumet City. As of 2009, there are currently 44,441 people residing within the seven communities serviced by Healthy Start Southeast Chicago. And here's some data. A comparison between the rates in our seven service areas in Chicago, our birth rates are 22.34. In Chicago, they're 16.4. We're going to look at our infant mortality rate of 11.74. And in Chicago, they're 8.4. We have a higher poverty rate of 33.9. In Chicago, there's 19.6. Healthy Start Southeast Chicago offers an array of activities and initiatives which promotes overall healthy starts for families, such as leadership and job readiness trainings. Leadership training consists of advocacy and communication one-on-one that prepares our consumers to effectively communicate for themselves and their families, and they also prepare them to communicate on a national level and advocate for the continuation of funding. Job readiness is a program that will help you build a resume. It will prepare you to speak at an interview and teach you how to dress as well. We have job opportunities, breastfeeding peer counseling training, community baby showers to promote health topics, support groups for moms to get to know each other better and to vent and have support from each other, as well as our staff, and male involvement for the male support in our families and in our community. In addition to receiving care during the prenatal and postpartum phases, participants can also participate in educational sessions on a range of health topics: nutrition, SIDS, premature birth, smoking cessation, gestational diabetes, breastfeeding, and labor and delivery are some of the topics. Formerly, the Healthy Start Southeast Chicago program had a delivery where case managers had a caseload of 150 clients. And we found this to be overwhelming, and we found the quality of case management to not be the best. So we have adopted a delivery model currently as of 2014 that we have three staff on a team case managing 200 families. And the staff are as follows. The hypothesis is that coordinated service through a team approach would provide additional experience, increase support per family, deliver an abundance of resources with the results of improved birth outcomes. The method is a care coordinated service delivery model. The presence of tri-member team care coordination approach enhances individual birth outcomes, strengthens families, and promotes healthier communities. This model can be the success of collective impact in regards to decreasing infant mortality statewide and across the nation. The team composition, the job descriptions, and the points of intersection. First member of the team is the case management that's responsible for initial home visit, screening and assessment, individual care plan, follow-up visits, referrals, progress notes. Second member of the team is responsible for case management. That's the case management assistant, responsible for processing new cases received from outreach activities, phone follow-up on new cases, scheduling appointments for initial home visit, and tracking information for Healthy Start monthly report, data entry, and outreach. Our third member is a community health worker responsible for outreach and updating outreach calendar, complete outreach report for Healthy Start monthly report, work with families toward individual goals and navigate systems, coordination of monthly support groups and or community activities, and deliver assistance such as transit cards, clothing, formula, etc. to participants. Okay, here's the success stories. This is my best part. We have client EB. She came to us and she was serviced by a case manager assistant, and a community health worker. Her history was the participant was having problems with her two-year-old son's medical coverage, pregnant and not fluent in English, difficulty communicating with social service organizations and medical provider. The services needed was medical coverage, and she needed an advocate who was familiar with medical enrollment procedures. We were able to provide advocacy and system navigation. The outcome was she obtained medical coverage for her and she delivered a healthy daughter. Second is another client. When she came to us, the team that helped was a consumer advocate, the project director, the case manager that sent the flyer for her to be introduced to Healthy Start through a community event and the Healthy Start consultant. Her history was she had three children when she first was introduced to Healthy Start. She knew she needed services but was not sure in what direction she should go. She suffered from being in an unhealthy relationship. She became pregnant with her fourth child and had a total breakdown. She contacted HCI Healthy Start staff and requested assistance. Services needed was advocacy, awareness and action, one-on-one mentoring, social and health education, and employment. The services provided was the job readiness training, leadership training, empowered to strive towards her goals, one-on-one support, and social and medical health education. Her outcomes. She delivered a baby with breathing complications, but currently the baby has turned one as of September 8th, and she's doing very well. She was employed by Walmart after job readiness training. She's currently a community health worker at the Healthcare Consortium of Illinois. 6 months after she had her first baby, we employed her. She's out of the unhealthy relationship, she's currently attending training to become a breastfeeding peer counselor, and she has traveled for about 3 years with the Healthy Start team advocating for Healthy Start funding and telling her personal story on the national level. This client came and she was serviced by a case manager assistant, and a community health worker. Her history was she was transferred from another program. She suffered from depression due to several deaths in her family. She was unemployed with two children, and at the time of entry, she was actually in the hospital about to deliver the newborn baby, and she had a two-year-old. Services needed was transportation to doctor's appointments, WIC, clothing, she needed to obtain her documents such as birth certificate, state ID, and in order to get services. She was provided support systems, one-on-one mentoring, documents needed to obtain. She was provided services to get her documents, home organization, personal care, male involvement support services for her father, for the father of the baby. Her outcomes are social security cards for her and her children, state ID, temporary employment, enrolled in GED, home organizational skills, and improved personal care for family. Our last person has been a Healthy Start member for 15 years. She has six Healthy Start children. When she first came to Healthy Start, three outreach workers helped her and a lactation counselor. Her history was she was enrolled into our program about 15 or 16 years ago as a high school senior. She was scared and felt abandoned, in need of a little assistance while she was pregnant. Absolutely did not want to breastfeed, and she was in an unhealthy relationship. To date, this participant, she needed services like prenatal information, essentials for mother and baby, enrollment in WIC and Medicaid, breastfeeding, education and support, and employment. She received services, support, and a helping hand, encouragement and breastfeed insurance, system navigation, clothing, pampers, and baby essentials. This client has delivered six Healthy Start infants over 15 years, breastfed all six babies. First job as a Healthy Start outreach worker within an FQHC, later became a certified lactation counselor. She has served in more than five national state breastfeeding organizations and has facilitated more than six trainings during the last 6 months. This is some of our pictures of the success stories, and you can see our clients. Here's our mom with the six children breastfeeding. In the middle with the blue, that's our advocate on the national level. Here we have the mom that came in with depression and now she's smiling. And those last two pictures are some community events for Healthy Start Southeast Chicago. In conclusion, using a team care coordination approach to provide social services to populations that are not mandated to accept services have shown increased enrollment, continuation in the program, and improved outcomes. I am Celeste Garcia, and I have a nice friend that helped me put this together, Ms. Cynthia Williams. That's our contact information. Thank you.
You really have to pull this down, Celeste. I told Celeste I actually had another pair of shoes in my bag so that I wouldn't look like a midget next to her. Thank you to all of our presenters, and we're open for questions on any of the previous presentations. Jim, you must have a question. I saw the wheels in your head turning. Yeah, I saw you intrigued with Peggy's presentation, so I knew you had a question.
Really great stuff. Clearly, you showed some very powerful data showing improvement over the past several years. But there's still a lot of work on equity and addressing the disparities in Grand Rapids, which you pointed out quite significantly. There's still a big gap, and besides, I'm looking for some out-of-the-box kinds of ideas about how to address this gap, because while it seems that we all can engage women and families, even men who want to be engaged, there's another subset of our population that is much harder to engage, and in Cincinnati, we spend a lot of time worrying about excessively. I'd like your comments or any of the other panelists' comments on the women who don't come through the front door or even the back door very readily.
And let me tell you, Jim is one of our new Healthy Start grantees from Children's in Cincinnati,
yes,
who also has a tough population.
Yes. We have very few women in Grand Rapids anymore.
Peggy,
who are not coming.
Peggy, can you come to the mic in case they can't hear you? I don't know if I can.
Yeah, in terms of being able to engage those highest risk women, we really have very few that are not engaging at this point. In fact, that's a challenge we're facing with this pay for success model, is that we're pretty much maxed out at capacity of who we're serving already. So one of our dilemmas is how we're going to find the comparison groups to look at our you know, to compare outcomes using Vital Records data and state warehouse data and so on. So that is the challenge, that we really are reaching almost everybody. Of course, there are people falling through the cracks. So yes, again, we have continued outreach plans. We have very intense outreach plans, intensive outreach training in the community, so we continue to do that. To your other question, though, about working on those disparities, that is probably my, and I think almost every Healthy Start project's greatest frustration, is that we know that these underlying massive systemic societal issues, such as lack of living wage, lack of universal health care, housing segregation, and the racist policies that are embedded in our institutions, those are the things that really need to change if we're going to have real, lasting, significant change. And those are the things that, you know, there's only so much that we can do as one small federal program. It's just really frustrating because we feel like we're making so much progress and yet have these massive barriers that still need to be taken down. So that is part of our work. I don't know if I dare say the word advocacy with education, educating policymakers, decision makers. Sometimes it's just something as crass as bringing the business case to bear, saying, hey, look, businesses, if you want to be in business 20 years from now with changing demographics, you better pay attention to what you're investing in, who you're hiring, who you're training, what you're paying them, where they're living, what kind of transportation is available to them. So working on it from that angle, again, it's a long-term thing. This is not going to be fixed, you know, next year. But that's one of the strategies that many Healthy Start projects are using as well.
I want to share something we're doing, and I think my voice is okay. I have 10 brothers and sisters, so I'm kind of like in the middle of the pack there. So I've learned to speak loud. But one of the things we did 2 years ago is a referral pathway tool for maternal child health in our community. So we began that as a tour of one of the areas in South Bay. We presented it at the DHA 2 years ago, but now it is actually in all six regions in San Diego County. We have developed a referral pathway tool for chronic disease similar to that. And what that is a simple paper form, although it is also electronic, for all the home visiting programs are in that tool. And it says what is eligibility and the contact information. All the community clinics in San Diego County are participants of that tool. But we're now moving beyond that, in that we are bringing that to the community. So we're teaching the community how to use that tool. We're not an FQHC, and so the community is seeing these big mobile clinics. It's a deterrent sometimes because they're like, well, they were gonna need my name, my information, etc. We are a border county. And so what we're doing is actually, we've been blessed to have received a van, which we're going to be doing a mobile outreach van. We're in the communities, we will be at certain centers or where they're holding, wherever we are, and being launched next month. And we will teach the community members what is the importance of this referral pathway tool. We will give them key behavior messages. We will actually then see, we have electronic data systems that will see when they self-refer or when other community members refer them, we will be able to track them. And in actuality, we've gone back now, we're going to go back and look at, is there a change in that behavior? Because we are part of the CDC group that's looking at a rigorous evaluation for this tool. And they're looking for us to share that nationwide, and we want to have some substance first. And so what I'm saying is, I think we need to go back to the basics of community economic development from the bottom up. And we can't keep just going down to the community, but really involve the communities, and maybe that will move that system into a different plateau altogether.
You have a comment.
You asked a question about the women that may fall through the gap. We did find women that does not be serviced by our FQHCs or our safety net hospitals. So Healthy Start has always looked at the low-income women. They come through the FQHCs and the safety net hospitals. So what we found was private doctor offices. Through the ACA, they were able to take these medical cards and come out of the FQHCs and the safety net hospitals, and they were able to go to private doctor's offices. So we had private practice office begging for our Healthy Start services. And we also partnered with the public aid office, where they're still low income, but they have changed their doctor's offices out of FQHCs or safety net. And we can find them in a public aid office, or we're partnered through MOAs or MOUs with the private doctor offices. And they're begging for help because they say by the time they deliver, they have had no social service support, and they're in an emergency state. And they deliver and they have to go home still in this emergency state. So we're partnering with private offices. Dr. Trosh.
But I want to make a comment and two questions. Thank you all for great presentation. And I'm so excited about November 16th, 17th, because it's
take
all
the,
going
take
to be
the mic,
like
but
this.
They can hear you.
If the convention is like this, it's going to be really great. And thanks for organizing the world. But Peggy talked about pay for success. I think everything we're doing the coming 4 years is about that nationally. We really, really have to show results to both continue federal funding, but also hope that states and other private businesses will start investing in more Healthy Start models around the country. Also, when you talked about comparison groups, I think you did not check your email the last half hour, but you should have received an email that we will be working with states through CDC to link vital records to Healthy Start records for all Healthy Start grantees, but also in 15 selected programs to get comparison groups through PRAMS to compare to Healthy Start clients. In addition, we're talking to CDC now, they're launching PRAMS for dads. We're trying to work with them on getting more information about dads involved in Healthy Start programs. Two questions for Celeste, or hopes. One is your tri-team is very exciting. I'm hoping that your assistant community workers, there is some structure to have some learning, what do you call them, curricula, so that in a year or two they become case managers themselves. Yes. So you have some measures of what are you learning and how can you grow in your career, part of the capacity building. The other question is, I ask all the time, is I hope those 6 births were planned. I mean, having a woman come back to you 6 times is not the issue.
You can ask her. There she is right there. There's Titina.
Were they all planned births?
Yes, they were.
Nothing wrong with having 6 babies, but okay. I think part of what we need to do is make sure we work with women and their partners to make sure that if they choose to have a baby, it's a planned baby. If not, have them not have a baby.
Yes,
I'm one of 12 children, so there's nothing wrong with that. You're one of 11. I beat you. Oh, thank you all very much. This was a great session.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Comments? And I want to thank all of our presenters. As always, I'm always impressed and humbled by the work that our Healthy Start programs do in communities, particularly when I hear you describe the communities in which you work and the circumstances in which you work. When we talk about improvements in infant mortality, we're improving birth outcomes and family outcomes and improving communities that we go into communities as you hear them describe the demographics. Healthy Start communities are communities that have the worst possible outcomes, and yet we go in and improve birth outcomes. That's a very humbling statistic, and it's a very humbling place to work and to serve. And I am always thrilled to be a part of the Healthy Start community and the Healthy Start program. So thank all of you for your work and the Healthy Start programs in the audience, and to you, Dr. Trosh. Thank you all for sitting with us this morning.